cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is 360 Biz indeed. My name is Deborah Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. Now, definitely, I love actually that song. It's just unfortunately horrible. Now, it just seemed to be a business show, a business content show, in fact. That this is a show that brings you all things business. So, you know, every week we bring you industry champions, we bring you regulators, we're bringing you subject matter experts, and that's why this show is definitely there for you. If ever you've missed out on some of our previous shows, you can go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast to have insight on some of our show, or you can even get your phone and download the Cliff Central app. I really hope our guests have got the Cliff Central app, because if ever they don't have, we must make sure Hori, you guys download and be able to listen to ourselves. I've just came in rushing with my boy Bulelane Bala. Bala, how are you, Fana?
Yeah, man, I just landed, you know, flew in from Sandton, you know, from the other side of Sandton. I just landed. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful day. Actually, it seems like there's the sun inside this room with all this lighting that we have in, but we're just shooting. And I mean, I don't know if people know that there's a couple of episodes that have already been out. Do we call them episodes or?
Yeah, it is.
Because you're episode, in that space. Well, series. What is it? Is it a series or an episode?
It's episode, it's series, of 360.
And it looks amazing. It looks amazing. There's a hunky gentleman who's in studio. Shang, I'm a tricep and I'm a bicep is carrying this heavy artillery. Okay, he's shooting us every Wednesday.
I don't know anything about him being hunky. but
I think that's what Asanda told me. So I'm getting the message across.
Is it? Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, and I spent the entire morning with him, I mean, going through businesses, criticizing businesses.
It was very interesting that you were in the other room. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that you were coming until I was there. It was like, no. Before you actually get to be dealing with these businesses, just know, Hori, your co-host is on the room next door. In fact, I was actually going to try and call you to do the show on your own. They're like, no, you can't be calling Bulela, and he's right next door. I'm like, how? Yeah, but any interesting businesses those are for you?
I think the one for me was of a lady who runs a confectionery, and she was really underselling the whole entire thing. You know?
Okay, my man, you're speaking a lot of English. Confectionery. I went to Khotalang, so I know I've got a gentleman from Limpopo here. So you know what is confectionery?
This guy is a twangist. I know him.
Is it?
Nah, man. She runs a bakery. Okay. Very successful. I mean, she's baked cakes for the likes of Nelson Mandela and all the stuff, but she really downplays it, you know.
So when you say confectioner, you mean she's a baker?
Yeah, she's a baker.
Couldn't you say a baker?
No, I mean, I said, oh, so you're a baker, and she was like, oh yes, a confectionery or whatever.
Hey, no, I was guys, like, oh, okay. No, maybe it's a problem. Tepo, have you heard of the word confectioner? Do man, have you heard of the word confectioner? It sounds?
You know.
No, have you heard of them?
I have.
Okay, when I guess you've got an accent, so maybe when you're bound to, you might have gone to a good school and had the necessary survival tools. But these are the words, guys, that we should be throwing around, because some of us, you know what, we went to Bantu Education.
Did
guys.
You?
That's why we picked it up somewhere along the way.
What businesses did you see?
Who, me?
Yeah,
I had some interesting businesses. Maybe before I actually get to that, there's something I want to ask this lady. I don't know who she is. She's sitting the other side with the...
She's supposed to be here, actually.
She's supposed to be here. Lady, come in. We're waiting for you. Come in. We've got a chair right here for you. So for me, I mean, I've seen some interesting businesses. And I must say, out of all the businesses that I saw, there was one business that had a good brand. For me, it raised an alarm to say it's serious. It's really something that, as small business, we don't take our brand serious.
Yeah, that's one of the things I saw.
And our brand doesn't stand out, because it's actually this one business that had a good brand out of all the businesses. So for me, it's something that really stood out out of the entire, thinking today that we're going through in terms of those businesses. And for me, it made me realize to say we don't take our business or our marketing serious.
Yeah, that's true.
A small business, that's you know? True. And even some of the guys, some of them, I mean, they were wearing, I mean, dude, you come into a panelist. Bulelani, I mean, you allowed to come sitting like that, you know, because you had the checkbook of today. Course. But now, as a business, coming, sitting and looking the way you do, I mean, what happened to advertising? I mean, some of the people, they grow up, I mean, some of us, people were hammering advertising to say people buy you before they buy what you sell. I mean, Bulelani, speaking of advertising, I mean, today the discussion is outdoor advertising being a platform for creating brand awareness and building brand visibility and popularity. I mean, in the last couple of decades, outdoor advertising has become a prominent, but more than that, technology has enhanced it further so that you can get the best out of it. With outdoor advertising upping the stakes and becoming increasingly more competitive, I mean, these days we've got plus digital advertising, I mean, mediums of choice, and I mean, that we see, I mean, right now we even have what we call ambush marketing.
Yeah,
You know, and a whole lot of stuff that advertising is in place. You as well, advertising, I mean, your own business with the CAP Township Entrepreneurship Awards. It is advertising, is it not?
No, it is.
Is it indoor, outdoor?
This is definitely in. It's both. It cuts across both.
Is it? How did I think that you'd say it would be in? I mean, ready to plunge and do something truly creative. I mean, we have two gentlemen in studio who will give us strategies to ensure your outdoor advertising has the right chance of being noticed and, more importantly, remembered. But now, the strange thing about having these gentlemen is one of them. He's actually my architect. So now I'm thinking to myself, what does architecture has to do, you know, with advertising or outdoor advertising? But this is something that definitely we'll get to hear more about it. Maybe before I get to the gentleman, let me give the lady the mic to say hi. At least you're bringing some color up in this room, by the way. You're looking amazing. Say hi to the listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Okay, good afternoon.
You need sure. To come close. Okay. Why do you wanna be shy? And you know you like having things close, but all of a sudden today, you know?
Yeah, me got lipstick, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, mindful and what I've used. Okay. Anyway, good afternoon. My name is Cindy Dibiti. And I hear you talking business. I thought I was going to be talking about something else, but very much interesting.
What did you have in mind?
Oh la la, should we go there? So before we go there before we go there, what it is that I do, I am by qualification an accountant. I'm a professional accountant. And my business does estate planning, amongst other things.
Yeah.
And board services. And when I say estate planning, what we look at is the value within the businesses that you guys have, because there isn't a mindfulness when it comes to the value in the business. You know, we spend so much time building these businesses, but at the end of the day, some negligence at times, you know, things get eroded and we don't know what actually happened. Most people actually, especially in the Black community, tend to die with their businesses. So we look into that space, into the value of your equity, and make sure that it's actually preserved and it's kept correctly. But that is not what I thought I was going to be talking about today.
What did you
think? Anywho.
But that ties in nicely. We could tie that nicely in with brand equity. Mm. Because it's very important to understand your brand equity. Mm. Because, I mean, your brand, when we understand that, it's just a bit hard to measure it when it's a small business. But as a growing enterprise, you need to start feeding into that balance sheet, yes. That line item on your balance sheet.
No, it's true, but I am curious to know what she thought we were going to talk about.
So, this is it. In the business that I do, I obviously work directly with the entrepreneurs, okay. Right? My client is not only the business, but the actual person behind the business. Mm-hmm. The growth of that person, the development of that person is very important.
Okay.
And in what I was doing, I have been in business for over 14 years. So this is my 16th year, actually. And in the work that I do, I tend to deal with a lot of personal stuff and personal affairs of people. And as
you like news.
So, you know, I become the interested partner, not just of the entrepreneur, but it extends to the family because what you do impacts the family.
Okay.
So as we do the work and also coupled with my own life experiences, I realize that, you know, there is another bug that erode our equity, as it were, but the value in our businesses. And that is the emotion that we take into it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So for me, I think you're doing something very important. And doing something that is so important, where do you advertise yourself?
Yeah, good question. I am not advertising myself yet because there's a lot of education, which is why advertising would be very important with what I do.
That's exactly why we have this show today. Let me give the gentleman an opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do. Let me start with you, my friend.
Hi, I'm Dumelo Mailula. I run a company called Juxtapose. Yes, it is an architectural company, but we have a secondary offering, which is outdoor advertising. And what we do in that space is we work with media companies to help them regularize and get approval for their structures. This could be billboards. It could be transit signs. It could be LEDs. It could be super signs.
Okay.
And maybe in the case of Francis, a balloon, you know, which is the space that he's in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, let me get this right. I know, I know in terms of the bylaws.
Yeah.
For outdoor advertising.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to once get into the space. I'm originally from a digital advertising space. I've tried to actually get into the space. But now the complication of needing an architect, needing engineers, and all of these bylaws application that are so thick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, Bulelani, you would think it's just a matter of just putting up a billboard.
Yeah, that thing is a 65-page document with numbers and measurements, and it's a complicated thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you know what? Now, I'm an entrepreneur, township-based, and, I mean, for us, it's simply you find an open piece of land. There's no one occupying it. You ask a few people, do you know who's owning this? They tell you no, and then you come, you erect your thing.
Mm.
But, I mean, if the moment you delve deeper and deeper, you find that there are bylaws that are very stringent, especially when it comes to supersize buildings. Boards and digital billboards as well. So I think I'd really love, because I've had a few questions with regards to certain types of billboards. So I hope
that's why he resulted for mobile billboards. And he's had his mobile billboard pushed over a couple of times. Yeah. So, but
they also have regulations, by the way.
Is it?
No, that one, we don't need regulations for that one.
No, definitely. I mean, let's come to Francis. Francis Chikasha.
That's correct.
Yes. Francis Chikasha, you're from Aerial Displays. Say hi to our listeners. Tell us what it is that you do.
Right. Aerial Displays is an innovation company. We're operating in the sort of media space with the balloon project at the moment. We've got a couple of other projects that we're engaged in as well, simultaneously. But in particular, this forum is about the existing media platforms, which people know as the Hyundai balloon. They may have seen the Absa balloon, et cetera, et cetera, in the past.
Yeah. Okay, but now, my man, you are a black man.
Yes, that's right.
I'm a black man.
Yeah.
We've got black people in studio. Huh? What, you know, the beautiful thing about this show is that it's the ability to, you know, it's uncensored. But what the heck are we doing in balloons? I mean, balloons in advertising, how does that mix? I mean, balloons, I know the balloons that now there's air balloons that are used for advertising.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, Aerial Displays is an innovation company. And by and large, to a very limited extent, the advertising section of the business came about incidentally.
Okay.
The balloons actually are designed for passenger carrying activities. So we consider that activity a passenger carrying activity. They carry 30 people for sightseeing tours, excursions in wherever the position the balloon is actually installed. That's the primary purpose of those of that design.
Okay.
It's just that when the balloons are located in these populated areas,
yeah,
they have a, you know, a huge impact, a visual impact, which also allows this this other, you know, stream.
So you're actually taking advantage of it's actually now it becomes a 2-in-1.
That's correct.
It becomes
revenue stream, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes an adventure.
That's correct.
And at the same time, it becomes a form of advertising.
That is correct.
But how far can these balloons go, though?
Well, we operate up to a height of 120 meters, which is just over 300 feet, aeronautical measurements. But we have permission to go to 180 meters.
Okay.
But the reason why we go to 120 meters is because, you know, you don't see anything much more than you see at 120 than you see at 180.
Mm-hmm.
So we limit our height to that height because, in particular, when it's busy,
yeah,
and we want to carry a lot of people, you know, the time it takes for the balloon to go up and to come down is longer when it's 180 meters at height.
Bulelano, would you advertise in a balloon, bro?
I would. I think, I mean, if it's strategically positioned and that's the market I'm gunning for, I definitely would.
Yeah. Is it?
It's not a space I know much about, but I've seen the Hyundai one.
Yeah.
It's by the Radisson, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
It's always been intriguing seeing that big balloon.
Yeah.
But what do you guys do with the balloon? You carry people up or is it a dining space as well?
No, we carry people up, but we also have, private tours where someone can have little snacks and champagne with their private group and that sort of thing. We've had a couple of proposals up there, you know, so yeah.
Okay, but maybe let's get into the beginning.
Yeah.
How did you start this company?
Well, it started off, I used to work for a company called Shearwater Adventures, based in Victoria Falls, which is actually a company that operates rafting, canoeing and other helicopter tours. And that sort of thing. And I was appointed to basically manage a canoeing operation in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I was there, the company asked me to look into the possibility of an additional or a new tourism activity. So hence this thing about passenger carrying activities. So when we researched, etc., on the internet, we found that there was this design of craft that we use now available in Europe. And I went to Europe, trained on the device, and then ultimately ended up deciding that I could just do this on my own aside from the company.
So, and you decided now you want to bring this crazy adventure. Yeah,
that's correct.
And I mean, I was reading somewhere they say, I mean, you're running an 18 million business.
Well, each balloon costs 18 million rand.
Each balloon.
That's correct.
So average, how many balloons do you do a year?
Well, we've got 4 balloons. There's only 23 of this type of balloon in the world. And so we're the biggest owner of balloons in the world of this type of balloon.
What?
There's currently 2 up, one which I'm sure everybody might have seen on the N1. I won't mention the client.
I know that. I saw that one with the red brand.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple of issues which are currently...
But I saw it was covered at some point, and the covering now it's falling apart.
That's regulation. That's the stuff.
That's the stuff that Tumelo is actually involved with.
Okay, then Tumelo, let's come to you.
Yeah.
Being an architectural company.
Yeah.
You got into this business. Maybe let's start here. How did you get into the architectural business?
Look, I started with a friend who eventually worked for the municipality. 2006, went to his office. He told me what they do. And I'm like, oh, this is somewhat aligned to what we do as architects, you know, because at the end of the day, you need to put together a design.
Mm-hmm.
That design needs to adhere to building regulations, and that needs to adhere to bylaws, and eventually it needs to be erected, and there needs to be someone to supervise with all of that. So, and that's basically where we draw the line, you know. We end with this point where we actually developed the site, you know, and we started our first sign that we did for a private company then was one of the biggest in Joburg at the time. It was I Love Josie on the Diamond Building at 11 Diagonal Street.
Okay.
And ever since then, we sort of created a name for ourselves, and we've been in the space of outdoor advertising for 11 years now. So that's how architecture and outdoor advertising sort of aligned, because one of the things that we are trying to do with our clients is to, you know, try wherever they put billboard, it must not distract from the aesthetics of the building, because most of these you find them within buildings. So we want them to sort of align aesthetically, you know, with the
Demelo, you're speaking a lot of English, bro. So maybe let's simplify that. What do you mean by anastatic aesthetic?
Sorry. With the beauty of the building.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Couldn't he say that?
He's a learned man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now, I mean, you work with Francis.
Yep.
You know. So how do your business contribute in each other's businesses?
You see, we're coming from a development side. I mean, what Francis is doing is groundbreaking. You know, it's something that has never been done in South Africa. He's the first to implement, the biggest in Africa, the only one in Africa doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming in to say, look, from a regulatory point of view, there are certain alignments that you require. And we are there to assist their business in aligning with those. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, I mean, all municipalities haven't dealt with this kind of application, you know,
before.
Only Joburg is aware of this kind of stuff. Now, if we're to decide to go to Mohale City now, they have to change their bylaws just to accompany his type of structure. Because this is outside the
realm. No, then let's just go to Mohale City and Egorulane and just erect a balloon there and just keep quiet.
Look,
what do you think, bro?
I like that.
Look, I mean, for instance, it took them 4 years to put up the first one because it was just not in the regulations.
The regulatory authorities, I mean, including civil aviation, had to now align their requirements to match this because it didn't exist previously. So that four-year period was something, it was sort of a learning curve for all the regulators, environment, civil aviation, and, you know, other governmental organizations.
Outdoor
in particular.
By this 4 years, it's enough to become broke in the interim. And
absolutely.
There you go.
So now, I mean, but I'm trying to quantify 18 million, though. I can't come up with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's okay, it's something that I think we'll come back to. Maybe while you think about quantifying that 18 million, I mean, Tumi, when were you exposed though to outdoor advertising? In terms of to say you don't only want to do architecture, but you want to look at this method as well, and bring in the likes of Francis and I don't know who else you work with in the outdoor advertising space.
Well, it is 2006, and I mean we've worked with a lot of companies. We've worked with the biggest outdoor advertising company in the world, which is JC Decor, and they've just bought Continental, who were also my clients.
Okay.
We work with the likes of Prime Media, and we also work with smaller guys who are going into the industry, because what we've learned is that, you know, it has become a big interest to smaller guys and guys, mostly black guys, who are trying to go into the space, because it's always been a white-dominated industry, you know. And the city, especially Joburg, is now trying to sort of empower the black owners, you know, into the space, because they own the biggest land in terms of opportunities for outdoor advertising. So these are the road reserves. This is where you put up your actual billboards. So we help them to get their billboards legal. Because, I mean, most of the billboards in Joburg are actually illegal.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about 76% of billboards in Joburg are illegal. And most of these are sitting on the road reserve. So the city is not collecting on rental, you know. So, I mean, there's Bulelani, who just made an example of the trailers. You know, those also have their own regulations. And the city needs to collect from you, Bulelani.
You know, if the city can find me.
Bulelani, you're into advertising.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you've experienced personally?
For the past year or so, we're in a position to now kind of move into much bigger platforms, or rather create marketing platforms, and we're considering outdoor. And then I spoke to my local municipality, which is why I got to the 67 or whatever page document filled with complication in it. But I think that, I mean, for us, I mean, for me, one of the things that I saw was, you know, getting into the space. I mean, when you look at those regulations and you're someone who doesn't know, obviously that automatically becomes a barrier to entry.
Yeah. Yes.
And these are regulations that were never there, but were set by our predecessors who were... who entered into this place on a clean sheet. And you know how we always do. We go into business, we become huge, and you make it very complicated for anyone else to come in.
That's correct.
And I found that simple things and basic stuff in terms of this space could have been made simpler to allow more entrance. I mean, at the end of the day, if someone can't afford a structure, you can't, then you can't come in, but you should not be turned away by a document, you know. But I think apart from that, there have been certain arguments I've had with the local municipality with regards to the mobile trailers. Some have won, some I definitely did not, but I ignorantly stood my ground and I continue with certain things, because I feel like if we are trying to then develop young Black entrepreneurs that are coming up in the media space, then give us areas. So what I was saying to them is give us an area to then say that this is our area, we are able to do whatever we need to do, and then later on we pull them out and we put them back. Then you had a long back and forth and all that stuff. So I think that from the other side as well, the conversation of putting on BE partners in terms of the municipality and empowering them is not a conversation that has really reached its climax when it comes to that space. But I mean, obviously, when you're talking about construction or whatever, they smile.
Yeah, no, definitely. And another thing to me, what I've realized now, there's maybe, you know, you can come through as well, Francis, on this one.
Yeah, sure.
I saw now there's containers.
Yeah.
That are going up.
Yeah.
That are being reinforced.
Yeah.
To actually form as part of outdoor advertising or as billboards.
Yeah.
And are they cheap? I don't know are they cheaper than your normal typical structure, or are the bylaws a lesser because that forms as a temporal structure? How does it work?
Oh, Tumelo is better placed. Yeah.
Look, they're definitely cheaper and they are faster to erect. But are they legal?
Well, an engineering certificate.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you look at them and you're like, how is this possible, right? Yeah. Mm. I think everyone looks at them and say, how is this possible? They're definitely, most of them are illegal. Maybe 99%. I'll just leave that one chance percent who says they have an approval. But 99% of those are illegal because they have to go through a municipal bylaw. Further to that, they need to adhere to the National Roads Agency bylaws as well. Because you see, billboards is about what public are you facing?
Yes.
You know, am I on a provincial road? Mm. Am I on a municipal road? Or am I on a national road? You know, and depending on which traffic you're impacting, you need authorization from that body as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for Joburg, it would be JRA. If you're on provincial road, you'd have to go to Gautrans. If you're on national roads, you have to go to SANRAL. You see, so and SANRAL does not approve a billboard that size, you know.
Especially within a certain distance from the highway.
Yeah.
So I mean, is this then a sense in case of? I mean, I've got someone. We've got an agreement. They have land. It's along the highway. Let me just do my thing because it's my private space.
A lot of people have that. People have that mentality, and it's some of them is ignorance. Some of them is just lack of knowledge. Because someone says, it's my property, I bought it. Mm. I can do anything I want with it.
Yeah.
But you forget that when you build, when you put up a building, you go and ask for permission from the municipality.
Mm. Mm.
And you think that when you're going to do a billboard, you don't have to go through the same process.
Yeah.
You know, but the billboard is referred as a structure.
That's
but
true.
Okay, but now if you're using containers, then it's not a structure.
It is a structure.
Is it a structure?
It's a structure. It's a temporary
structure. It's a mobile structure.
Let me take this. To me, last week we were talking about alternative buildings.
Yep.
Yep. Part of the alternative buildings, we're talking about container homes.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, according to the town planning schemes, they don't regard that as a building.
Yeah.
So according to the town planning schemes, those laws are a bit relaxed because it's a movable structure. So it's a movable home. You can always remove it.
Yes.
So it's not like you're erecting concrete there and whatever. So why can't the same flexibility? Okay, maybe let me ask this first. Is it true what I've just said?
Look, what you're saying is it's sort of true, but you have to put the container on something.
Yeah.
And the minute you start breaking ground, right, to create your platform, you need municipal approval because now you're digging into the ground.
Well, I think
you saw how we just looked at each other.
You educated somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the minute you start breaking into the ground, now you need municipal approval. Because now you're putting in a structure. Even if it's just a foundation, that is a structure. Yeah. According to the National Building Regulations, it's defined as a structure.
Foundation is
okay, but now, exactly. But now, with containers,
I am sorry. Let me just go further because I am answering your question about containers because I know the mobile homes. Mm-hmm. You still need something to put it on because the ground that you're putting it on is not ready to take that weight. So you need to do earthworks. You need to excavate your topsoil. You need to put a G4 maybe soil and compact it and level it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with earthworks, you need approval for that as well, right?
Yeah.
And the minute you do that, they want to know, why do you want to do this? Oh, because I want to put a mobile home. Oh, because you want to put a mobile home and we're defining it as a dwelling, therefore now you need approval from building control.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But if you're going to take a container...
Yeah.
And just put it on your property and you say you live in it, nah, as long as you live there alone, there's no other life that lives in there. You can get away with it. But there is what we define as habitable and non-habitable spaces. So a container, if it does not have windows and lighting, is a non-habitable space. The minute it becomes a habitable space, you need authorization for that.
Okay, maybe let's define what is habitable and non-habitable.
Habitable space. The studio could be defined as a non-habitable space if it didn't have an aircon and it didn't have artificial lighting.
Okay.
Right? And a garage is a non-habitable space. A storeroom is a non-habitable space. But your kitchen, your living area, your pantry, right? Or the pantry is non-habitable as well.
Mm.
Your pantry, your...
So
your
do you know what is non-habitable space and habitable?
I get it just by understanding a bit of English, and that's all.
You see what I mean?
So
I don't know. Okay, I've understood. Okay, now does it mean is it a building or is it a structure that allows you that has a breathing provision?
Yes.
Or is it a structure that doesn't have?
It's a structure that allows you to have ventilation and lighting.
Okay. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
So now you said a non-habitable building, so it's a structure that doesn't have those things.
Doesn't have those
So things. That one needs approval.
No.
It doesn't need approval.
No, because of this container, when you just take it, lift it, and put it down on the ground, because we're still talking containers.
Yeah.
Because a garage, although it's a non-habitable space, you still need approval for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we're just talking containers.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take a container and put it in your backyard, you don't need approval for that.
Okay.
But the minute you make it a habitable space, you need approval. And you understand, guys, you know why we have approvals? One of the big reasons.
Okay.
And I use this example all the time to say that when there's a fire, right, in your house, when the truck comes to your house to come and extinguish the fire, there's a guy from the fire department that takes a private car, runs to the municipality to go and pull out plans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's going to join those guys on site while they extinguish a fire to see where is the weakest walls for them to break to save your life.
Okay.
So it's more than just getting permission.
I think people really don't care much about that.
Yeah. But at the same time, Dumenene, I'm into property. I bought a lot of property. I've gone to municipality half of the time.
Yeah.
I think 70% of the properties that I go to site, or when I go to municipality doesn't even know what is there.
Of course.
Because there's no plans.
Look, I know that is one of the biggest problems. One of them is a filing issue. When Joburg was just a town, it became a city and it became a metropolitan, right? And in all of those, there's been changing of filing systems. And in all those times, they've been losing and misfiling documents. They have a basement at the city of Joburg, ne? Where it's just tons of files and they don't know whose house it is.
What's what?
Where's the matches, man? Eh? Where's the matches? We need to get hold of that basement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, ne? It's actually I don't know. Yeah.
So the same applies to advertising.
So, So I think for me, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I mean, if 75% of these structures or 91% of these container structures are up illegally and no one is collecting on that, then why should I do mine the right way?
They are collecting. They are collecting. And I don't know if, Francis, you want to share.
Well, The city is beginning to clamp down on regulations. That's one of the reasons why in ERA we have the current situation that we have on the N1 with our project. But they're clamping down, and they're doing it, you know, as they go along. I don't think there's any specific structure in terms of who or what, but they, you know, they're trying to be as effective as possible and clean out the closet as quickly as possible.
Hmm.
So they're looking at all sorts of regulations, whether it's compliance with the building control regulations, or whether it's even distances from public roads, from national roads, or whether it's from city roads or whatever it is. So there are various reasons. If you were aware of media last year, the city actually, they made a concerted effort to advise the public that they were going to clamp down on these sort of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as a result, some signs have been brought down, and some illegal signs are still there, because there are so many of them that are illegal. Mm. And the city, because it doesn't actually know which ones are legal or which ones are not legal, sometimes they go after legal signs in error. And, you know, obviously the onus is on the owners of those signs to demonstrate that they're actually in the right and they have the right to actually have those signs.
But these compliance issues cost us money, guys. Do you know that? We're just trying to put food,
They do cost money. Mm. They do cost money for the entrepreneurs. But, I'm speaking from my own perspective. When the first installations that I did of these balloons, because there were no real proper regulations, the extent that I went to ensure not only compliance, but to ensure that the regulations were made to actually be able to demonstrate compliance with the law. Sometimes you sort of slack on how you address those issues of compliance. And it's very important for any entrepreneur who's entering that space to make sure that they are always consistent. Absolutely. When it comes to those issues in particular. It does cost money, and a small slip-up costs a lot of money.
Okay, guys, let's agree with this for the sake of small business. Let's erect Bulelani.
No.
The next thing, when they come, I'm sorry, we didn't know. Then we start getting Dumelo.
Some of the biggest challenges, I think, to this whole thing is, I think from a regulatory perspective, I mean, he mentioned things like a garage being an inhabitable space. And I mean, look at all the garages in the township.
Yeah.
Where you're leasing it out to someone who's renting all the billboards that are in the township.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that in fairness, if you are clamping it down in town, you'd need to clamp it in the township.
Yep.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
I think generally what would happen is that the authorities would go for, because you must remember, authorities are part of an economic system. They're part of a city or a government, and they're going to go and start clamping down the areas where they're going to be able to generate as much revenue as possible with that clampdown exercise.
So the pylons are easy in the township. It's easy in the township.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be the same. Right?
Yeah.
And,
but it got reduced to what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, even if we speak of the old government, you're not supposed to have billboards in a residential area.
Yeah.
But you go to Tembisa, you go to Soweto, there's billboards everywhere, even within a residential home.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not approvable, you know, according to the bylaws, because you're not supposed to have something like that.
Yeah, man, the plumbers would have made their money, bro. You see?
Yeah, so. But you see, that's the other thing, because the education is also not there, because you come into my property as a big company, you tell me you're going to give me R1,000 a month for that billboard to be in there. Only to find that you give everyone else 40% of your revenue, which can amount to something like 30,000 a month. So they go to the black areas, the townships, and then they rob our people, you know, and they don't do it with approvals even.
So I think from that perspective, it becomes
a
conversation that holds water from an economic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a black individual, then it changes the whole narrative.
It definitely does. I mean, maybe let me ask you this: from an estate perspective, right now we're running businesses.
Yep,
we're doing outdoor advertising. We're erecting these structures, whether legally or illegally. So am I able to put that in my estate so that my kids are able to collect revenue once I'm gone?
If you are collecting revenue, yes, it is. However, if then you are clamped down on, then your kids would need to be able to have the proof. Yeah.
Is it?
So it basically says it continues exactly the way that you are currently doing it.
Because my kids can say, no, this man was here, he died. So I don't know which process was followed and was not followed.
And that's where we come in to try and eliminate the oopsies, because they're just too many.
But you guys cost money too.
Well, if you want it to keep for life and after yours, it's I would say it's worth it, but anyway.
Everyone seems to be charging us. Yeah.
What are the benefits of what are the benefits of hiring or getting you? Maybe just to educate our listeners out there.
The benefits, the biggest one is really about how you build your legacy. Yeah. So it's not about just working so that you can have a plate on your table at the end of the day. So if you want, and again, we are not for everyone. So we are for the people that want to have
longevity. When you're saying you're not for everyone, what do you mean?
I mean, businesses are different. So we get into businesses for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get into business just to solve the hunger issue.
Hmm.
And you may get into business to build a legacy. Those are two separate people.
Okay.
And there are separate conversations.
So which one do you want, hunger or legacy?
Legacy. Because
No. You will. Go.
But look, the banks have been doing it forever. So now that is like, how does this work?
No, you know? I think make sure you see Asanda. Let's have a show around wills and legacy. Because
sure.
I know for a fact, do you have a will? Be honest.
Exactly.
Be honest.
If it starts with an arm.
I know I don't have a will as well, you know.
Most people don't.
But I've got let me not say it.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I've got structures that they're meant to be looking after my kids and whatsoever once I die.
Yep.
Do you guys have wills? Are the billboards in the will? Do you have a will?
The business
in the world. Of course he has a will.
Yes, absolutely.
He looks like he has a will. You two gentlemen look like
yeah, obviously, it's a business. So, you know, it just comes, it's natural for a well-compliant, structured business. Then you've got to be worried about what happens and you get run over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now, guys, we're talking outdoor advertising. Ne? In the township, ne? People die. And the next thing about there's a notion that our business is high emulated. You know, the business has followed him. So, you see, the beauty about being in outdoor advertising, if I die, the structure doesn't have to follow me. It can sit there and collect the rent.
Yeah.
You know? So, but now the question is, how do I protect that structure and put it in the will so that it's covered and even my kids are able to collect revenue out of that, though?
Look, I guess it's just the issue of your billboards are in the company, your approvals are in the company, your company has the rights, and then that company will then speak to the will. Am I correct?
Yeah. More or less. But now, even before the billboards make it into the company, you make a decision if you want them there.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Because you could decide that you want them in the trust instead of a company for various reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's where basically
you don't want people like this selling to you, because in the midst of her talking, she talks about that she says, yeah. So, we are for me, so you need to agree.
No, but I think that's a show worth having. Wills and trusts and
absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And now, I mean, gentlemen, do you see right now being outdoor advertising on billboards? Right now, I can tell you 18 million for balloon. Even if I had 18 million, I wouldn't do balloon.
Yeah.
You know? So right now, guys, why aren't you accommodating a small business?
No, but
Budelani tries at least with his Baki and his mobile trader taking our brand around. Why aren't you guys accommodating us? Because the bylaws from the in a consulting perspective, I know, dude, you're not cheap. So,
I'm not.
Exactly. Yeah. So, now, I mean, how many of us small business can actually afford to get into the outdoor advertising space?
Well, I think... I actually want to take it to like the 18 million story as well, you know, because not everything starts with money, and you guys know, you know, it starts with the
we want to know.
so I think with Francis' story of a balloon that's costing 18 million, he didn't have 18 million. He can share his story, you know, to say, how did he go and buy a balloon for 18 million in the UK? Okay.
Francis,
you know, because I think maybe look at it from that side.
Two minutes, Francis. Give us the story.
Basically, it's the classic story. Come up with an idea, write a business plan that's actually bankable, and go and borrow the money from the bank, and so that the bank can see they can get the money back from. That's the bottom line.
Okay, but what was your collateral, though?
What happened with collateral is I managed to persuade... The first balloon was actually installed at Monte Casino. And I managed to persuade Monte Casino to basically stand collateral for the 10% that the bank wanted as a deposit.
Okay.
And they did that by virtue of the fact that they wanted the balloon to be located at that position to demonstrate or to show where Monte Casino was.
Okay.
So the concept was something that sort of attracted them.
Yeah.
And then that's what allowed them to, you know, pull out their checkbook.
Francis, where did you go to school, bro?
I went to school in Zimbabwe.
Are you Zimbabwean?
That's right, yeah.
You Shona?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, nice. Tenda iwe. So you see, you have a British curriculum.
I don't think that's that.
I'm exposing him. Generally, I mean, my friends are Zimbabweans, and even in the States and everything. Mm. I mean, you guys, if I have to say, I said you guys are fucking smart, you know. So, but now you see, that's why you come here and we're talking bankable business plans and whatsoever. Yeah. You know, we don't speak bankable business plans.
We speak business plans.
You know, so that's why right now sometimes the processes of submitting applications that require business plans and whatsoever, generally, you know, Dumelo, black people avoid those.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because right now our documentation are not in order, our compliances are not in order, and this and this. So for you, right now, to be doing that bankable business plan, is it something that you needed to get a consultant for, or is it something that you did on your own?
No.
And if it's something that you did on your own, where did you learn, or what is it that you did and you felt this is a bankable business plan, according to you?
Right. Well, I did get assistance, but over and above that, I've got an accounting background. You know, so that sort of formed the basis. And also just perseverance.
So you had an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it unfair. I just call it an application of the background that I've got, you know. Because I think every single background is actually important when it comes to business.
Mm.
But applying that and then seeking the professional assistance from all the other professionals that you need to actually develop that plan, that's where it counts.
Okay. You know? So guys, hey, let's get this. As we left with a few minutes before we leave. Me and Bulanen went outdoor.
Yep.
Well, welcome, guys.
So we don't have the money. We don't have a bankable business plan. Do you have?
I don't have a bankable business plan, but from today's radio show, I know that I don't need to make a look if the city doesn't cash up. I know that balloons are my thing. We'll put balloons on taxi.
And we'll put that balloon in the wheel, right? So
look, sorry. I know you ended the show, but I know there's a lot of people that want to go into the space. And I think my advice is there's two things that are going to create value for your business before you even have a cent. It's a lease agreement for where you're going to put up the billboard and an intent from your advertiser.
Yeah. In fact, especially advertiser. That's the one, that's the fundamental thing, because the site itself and everything else, without the advertiser giving you the backing, because that's where this word bankable comes in. It means that the revenue is going to come from this person.
Yeah. So go and use your hustle to get those two documents, and then come to Juxtapose. We will show you the way.
Yeah.
So where do we find Juxtapose?
juxtapose.co.za.
Call that again.
juxtapose.co.za.
No, definitely. And you work in Gauteng?
Yes, we're in Bryanston. We're also in Phalaborwa and Limpopo. So we've got two offices.
Okay.
And you can reach us on 011-039-9999. 011-039-9999.
Francis?
We work here in Gauteng. We've got an office in Parkhurst. You'll see our board outside our offices. 011-511-0290.
011-511-0290. Okay, Sisi?
We are in Rosebank, and our website is COSEC, COSEC, COSEC8.co.za.
Hmm?
Yeah, COSEC.
Okay, then call that again?
COSEC 8. So that's COSEC 8, the number 8, .co.za.
Or COSEC 8.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. You see these people with good English, bro.
Yeah, it rolls off. Feng shui.
No, definitely. But no, more than anything, I think thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on the show today. We really hope that we'll have more people that want to really get into this space to actually, because I think there's still a big market, you know, and the cake is big enough for all of us for them to actually go and get into the outdoor advertising space. And definitely that legacy, we're going to definitely be touching on and having a show around it. That if ever you've just tuned in, you can definitely go to www.cliffcentral.com. To download the podcast of the show, you can even download the Cliff Central app. You can go to social media. It's at Cliff Central. On Twitter, it's at cliffcentral.com, at cliffcentral.com, sorry, on Twitter, and Cliff Central on Facebook. We as well have a Facebook page called 360 Capability to actually stay up to date. And for some of the shots that we do as well, we've got rightvectv.com. We actually, Bulan, is there anything that you want to say in closing?
No, I feel liberated, that's all.
Oh, Bulelani feels liberated. But what can I say? I mean, catch us again next time for another exciting show right here on 360 Biz. My name is Debohoma Fodi, and we're out. Cliffcentral.com.